Say blessings, everyone. Can you hear me? Yeah, I know you can hear me in the other room. It just blared in. I don't know what's going on here. I keep losing the stream. I can't even... I don't know. And then the Wi-Fi... Anybody in the house having Wi-Fi issues?
Yeah,
she might want to try rebooting. Oh, she did? Well, then cancel it out, because I went from 2.4 gigahertz to 5. So that might be causing it. But anyway, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, and we love you. Thank you for teaching us how to love you and how to love those that you send our way. Thank you for blessing everybody on our prayer list, all those that were mentioned in the children's story prayer list, and everybody that's doing the work, all the prayer requests that are in the room now as well. Thank you for helping us get through these trials. Thank you for helping us to have a steady connection for the church service today. It's been one attack after another. Even the local stuff is messing up, and I was unable to record the children's study, and it's just a mess. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us and not letting any of this stress any of us out. And bless us with the changing of the showbread as you do every Sabbath. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King for all eternity, the one who has defeated the enemies of your people, especially the archenemy. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is the one that reigns and lives forever and has defeated Satan. Amen. Amen and amen. Yeah, I'm wondering, Mandy. You know, it could be the fact that we're using too much Wi-Fi here, but I'm only showing 3 or 4 meg on average, with an occasional spike to 7. And that occasional spike, it just happened again. It's 7.7, actually. It happens all week long when people aren't even home, so I don't know what's going on there. I'm thinking it's a ping, some kind of a ping. That's probably Windows 10 doing it or something. That's why I'm pulling the chat room off this server, and we're going to get a different server for the chat room. And that's what I'm going to be hopefully working on this week. So it ain't a bandwidth issue. It could be a hacker. It could just be shoddy software. You know, the chat room is old. It's not supported anymore. People have bought them out, but they didn't make any changes. All they're doing is selling it, you know, and showing people how to install it and charging them to install it. And so even though if you've already bought it, like in our case, we've already paid, I don't know how much they're charging for it now, but it was $500 when we got it. So, but anyway, hopefully, yeah, I still can't, I can see the stream. I can see the, anybody, let me just put, I'll just put, let's see, OOO. Okay. Did everybody see the OOO I just put into the stream text chat? I don't know if anybody... Yep, okay, good. Because I cannot see the screen page. It's just constantly buffering. I even switched this computer off the house router and put it on the server router, and it still is buffering. So it's, and then YouTube was messing around with, I was trying to change a mod, and it kept, it's saying right now that mod you gave me, Brother Warren, that you wanted to mod, it says it doesn't exist. There is no such channel on YouTube, even though I know there is. So we'll be able to make it through. I just wanted to know if anybody here has been doing, let me just see where we're at here. Just give me a moment. We're going to run a little late. That's fine. when is the next time we have communion? Because I got to know if we're supposed to be doing it every 3 months. That's what we've been doing for years, but I'm wondering what they did in the early days. 420, so was the last time we did it. So 520, 620, and 720. So we got a month to figure this out. So, all right, let me get my notes up here. This is testimony service or Sabbath. So after the church, after the study hour, we're going to be doing testimonies, which I so praise the Lord for. Okay, but switching gears a bit this week in regards to the sanctuary study. Hold on a second. My Wi-Fi will not connect. It says it's secured. I think it's the 5G thing. I'll mess with it later. But one thing we all need to understand is the great commission of our Lord to do the work, so as to not only bring many souls into the kingdom, but to be, you know, to better our own walks and theirs, you know, so as to better prepare for the perfect society of New Jerusalem. So many people out there seem to think that they can get through and get in there on the skin of their teeth, and they can do this and they can do that, and God's not going to, you know, throw them in hell for such a piddly sin as this. I mean, everybody gives their own opinion as to what they think the Bible means. You know, and then you got a bunch of people out there that believe, all I got to do is read the Bible once. Oh, there's quite a few scriptures in there. As a matter of fact, I just sent one out to a loved one in regards to the fact that, no, the Bible's clear. You should read it every day. That's how you grow. You know, how are you going to have a relationship with Jesus Christ if you only stop by and say hi to him once in his word? It's just like being married, you know. If you, what if you got married and then you saw your wife the one time at the wedding and you never saw her again? You still consider yourself married? According to God, the eyes of God, yeah. But, yeah, amen, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So, you know, there's no other way to get your faith to increase. But to get it to decrease, yeah, stop reading the Bible. But I digress. Our efforts to unselfishly help those the Lord sends our way so as to guide them to the way of peace, you know, that we experience, even in these last days when persecution grows daily, as we just saw again, it's just constant little demons that are possessing the people out there that hate the truth we preach, you know, and, you know, a close walk in Jesus that we have when we share it with others will not only benefit them for obvious reasons, but it will cause the hand of the Lord to bless us as well. In fact, we see this as the purpose of our God in how he has worked for us for literally 6,000 years. And what I mean is, wait, okay, I'll try that one again. The sanctuary itself, the service itself, shows how he has us. Okay, the radio's gone. Oh, man. Give me a minute. I got to reboot the radio now. And I got to type this one in because I don't have it automatically going in. It fell out. All right. Give it a minute here because, like, you know, the bar isn't moving across. I don't know how long ago it fell out. So, but thank you for, well, I got to wait till I get in there. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for those of you that are listening on WTPR for being patient with us. We're obviously under attack again. And so, you know, the radio is falling out. I don't even have Wi-Fi on my desk here. And the antenna is, you know, 8 feet from me. And at least that's in. Okay, the room's okay. The stream, I have no clue. I just know that... every now and then I look over and I see the text chat move, which means there's people in there, but I doubt we're going to get the 80 or so that we usually get in there. So please keep it in your prayers regardless. But getting back, the sanctuary service, you know, in regards to what I was saying earlier about sharing our faith with others, the sanctuary itself shows how he has us play a part in the redemption of others. You know, just as Moses carved the second set of tablets, if you recall, because he broke the first, and then the Lord placed the words upon the tablets that Moses carved. So he did the carving, and then the Lord did the etching or the engraving. We, too, work hand in hand with the Lord. So as to illustrate the fact that He seeks to train us, all of us, to partake in the divine nature, wherein man and God can work as one. Luke 6:38 says that our Lord will give, and it shall be given unto you good measure. Okay, that's talking about tithing, obviously, but or anything, give of your time. But if you give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And a lot of those prosperity preachers use this verse to make money. It says, you got to get your cup to overflow, and the only way to do that is send us your grocery money, you poor people. That's like this the TBN, the woman with the cotton candy hair and all that. I remember her saying that on camera once, talking to the poor people and telling them to give your grocery money to us, and the Lord will bless you. And if they're sincere, those young, those people, those poor people, if they're sincere and they don't realize that they're nothing but wolves in TBN, the Lord's still going to bless them because they're out of their heart, out of the goodness of their heart, to give them the best they can. I mean, look, case in point, the widow with the two mites gave what she could, even though the synagogues and what they were doing, it was totally corrupted. That's why Jesus came and preached and ticked them all off, because they didn't like the idea that he was proving them wrong every time he turned around. So, but to do this for our fellow man can only be prodded from his heart to our heart, from Father's heart, via his Holy Spirit deep within us. That is always on the same page as the Father and the Son. That's why it says they are one. It's just like a husband and wife that are one. It's not like we have a family blob, like me and my wife and all eight of our children are walking down the street and there's 10 heads sticking out of this blob that's rolling. We're all one. We're all on the same page. Well, it's the same thing with, the Godhead. It's not like the Catholic Church or the people that say Jesus isn't God or Holy Spirit doesn't exist. They both preach the same theology, one God. It's a Trinity thing where there's one God, three persons and all that, falderal. But it's a God blob. And so you got this big blob called God with these three heads sticking out of it. No, that's not how it works, because if it did, explain what happened at the baptism of Christ, where Jesus is on the planet, the Holy Spirit's floating above him, and the Heavenly Father is speaking from heaven itself, saying, this is my beloved Son. And so for those that do this work just to appear obedient or holy before the eyes of man, they need to realize that if it is not based on the foundation of Christ, it's going to fail, because as it is written in Romans 3:12, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So no matter what you do, you can't pat yourself on the back. And I praise God for certain situations like this. And what I mean is, I, because of my ill-spent youth, can't memorize anymore like I did when I was young. But I am a firm believer in promises that he has written in John 14:26, which he'll bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever he has said unto us. And so if I've read his Bible, he's speaking to me. And so when I need to reiterate on the street, let's say, and share the faith or the truth with someone, the verses just come to mind. And so it just works out. He's going to be there for each and every one of us, no matter what. And so, by the way, were you also aware that the candlestick is also a symbol of the Holy Spirit? As we learned earlier, the anti-type of the seven-branched candlestick is actually the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God, according to Revelation. Revelation 4:5. And in Revelation 5:6, it says that these seven spirits of God are sent forth into all the earth by the Lamb that had been slain, which those of us doing the work can attest to as the fulfillment of Christ's promise that he will send the Holy Spirit unto us, who will then teach us all things so as to help those he sends our way that have yet to hear the truth. The light we proclaim most assuredly is going to dispel the darkness whenever the enemy rears his ugly head, just as the candlestick lit up the holy place. For some strange reason, the term sanctification is often misunderstood by the people of God. To be sanctified is to be set apart to do a holy work for God. And this is something that is done for a lifetime once Christ has been given that life. I mean, really, not just lip service like Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 says everybody's going to do, most people are going to do today. When you give Jesus Christ, when he's your Lord, that means he's your master. You are his servant. And you don't do thing one without his okay. But people say, well, I'm going to drink anyway, or I'm going to smoke anyway, or I'm going to do this anyway, or I'm going to do that anyway. Well, then he's not your Lord. You've just given him lip service to take away your shame, and it's all it is. Even if it's just your shame onto your own mirror. You know, you look at yourself and you make yourself feel better about yourself because you say you're a Christian when you're going to hell in a handbasket. You know, this is why I can't understand how men of God retire from being preachers when they reach 65 either. I mean, that's just about as easy to understand as someone who's, you know, like the once under grace, always under grace thing of the Baptist, you know, where they claim they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and they go back to their old ways and party hardy all the way up until the day they die and they figure they're going to heaven. It's just like with a preacher who somehow thinks when he reaches 65, okay, I'm retiring. What? I can see them slowing down their pastoral duties down, you know, somewhat as they reach their golden years, because by then the Lord has moved younger men, well, hopefully, younger men to step up to the desk to do that which the aging pastor did in his early years. But sanctification is the work of a lifetime where we are all called to work out our own salvation. I mean, gold doesn't rust, right? So the candlestick wasn't made out of rusty gold. It's permanent. It's going to be there till the day you're not breathing. You know, isn't that written in Philippians 2:12? Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so it doesn't matter if one is a pastor or a babe in Christ when it comes to being sanctified by our Lord. This work of sanctification is a lifelong duty once Christ is embraced as Lord. I mean, basic reality is he never called anyone to salvation to have them just waddle through life sitting on their hands without ever so much as sharing their faith with a single soul. We all need to go forth and bring them in, or we have to be prepared to answer to the Lord when he asks us why we buried the talent he gave us. And we all know how that won't end it well at all. We all know about what happens to the guy that buried his talent. I mean, during this lifelong experience, and for those of you that don't, haven't done, the guy that buried it ended up, you know, the weeping and gnashing of teeth thing. He ended up going to hell. So, well, retrospectively, in the future, actually, I'm sorry, proleptically in the future. So during this lifelong experience that we all have, the righteousness of Christ is slowly but surely imparted to the Christian as each and every one of us is aware, you know, when we see his word open up daily. You know, we don't just read it once. We read it every single solitary day. I've been reading it decades, and still, even this morning, I came across something I'd never realized before, and I put it in my notes. Every day, he's given me something new. And it states clearly in the word that when we go to heaven, we're going to continue to study it. That's how powerful his truth is. That's something mankind can't wrap their brain around. No matter how big of a hemisphere they have, you know, in their skull, it doesn't matter. You know, left or right hemisphere, it don't matter how big it is or how much they think they are a brainiac. I mean, it's just, no, you can't wrap your mind. It's just, oh, it's just a book. Yeah, well, yeah, but it's also the word of a God who wrote that book. So when we read his word, it opens up to us daily. And we also see how our prayers are answered or how our characters keep changing year after year or even day after day. We put down the sins we had before meeting him, yes, but as we walk with him day by day, he reveals sin to us we never knew existed until we eventually become one with him and therefore worthy of the latter rain. Remember what Paul said about he didn't know what sin was until he looked in the law and realized what the law said about lust, let's say? It is then we will take part when the latter rain falls on us, if we are so worthy, we're going to take part in his divine nature, says, to do his work hand in hand with that he created for us to do in the first place. I mean, this righteousness of Christ is ascribed unto every babe in Christ that enters into the court seeking the Lord as Savior. And if they remain faithful in their walk through the court into the holy place throughout life, in other words, they will eventually reach the point wherein we are better educated onto His will, for as we all know, and especially those that have walked with the Lord for years, as we walk, He opens up more truth unto us, so we are able to continue on in the courtyard, right into that holy place to receive the further instruction that will help us to go forth to bring in more souls to glorify the Lord who resides in the most holy place. You know, with this blessed understanding of His perfect will for us, we can be better fitted for the heavenly duty. And this is not to say that we should not share our faith on one day, because every babe in Christ knows that is something that cannot be quenched, because the Holy Spirit moves us to proclaim Christ Lord. You know, what I mean is, it's so our witness unto Him becomes very effective in how we share the change of heart with those closest to us. We don't clam up on any specific day. We don't say, oh, I'm not going to do anything today. No, you're always going to share your faith, even if it's just a smile when they expect a frown. And I'm not saying go out every single day and look for some place that you can stand on a soapbox and preach, although, unless, of course, you're called to do that. But, you know, even I take a break from time to time, but I'm still in the Word every day, and I'm still praying every day. It's not doing this, it not only blesses us with a way to witness for Him, it also allows those closest to us to see the bold and obvious change brought on by Jesus Christ, because they know us better than anyone else. And so that, first and foremost, is precious. And it's a sanctified act. And it can move some hearts to seek Jesus Christ as Lord. And it'll anger some as well, which is sad. And I experience that with my siblings. But all too often, the babe in Christ feels as if they're not worthy to share their faith. But that's only the enemy of souls focusing on them a bit more now, because they have now become a threat to Him. I mean, sure, a babe is not going to be seen on a pulpit on day one, or even on a soapbox on a street corner proclaiming their faith in Jesus. But they can go forth to speak with those they know in life in the exact same way the man with the legion of demons in him did on day one when he was released, you know, of Satan's chains by Jesus. That man wanted to go with Jesus as he left his area, you know, after the people asked him to leave, you know, due to all their pigs drowning, 2,000 pigs drowning. But notice what Christ said unto the man. Mark chapter 5. Notice what the Lord said unto the man, and then notice what happened next. It's Mark chapter 5, again, yeah, verses 18 to 21. Jesus cast those demons out into all the pigs that then, of course, ran into the water to drown themselves. Well, the Bible says that they choked, but that's what it means. It says this in Mark 5, 18 to 21. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had, you know, in other words, he's getting ready to leave because they're all kicking him out because, hey, you killed our pigs, get out of here. And so when he come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him, or asked him, because that's more or less what, you know, it's a conversation thing, prayed him that he might be with him. Now, notice this. He was just freed from all those demons, and so it is obvious as to why he wanted to stay near Jesus. He experienced perfect peace for the first time in years, and probably his entire life. He could have also been a bit concerned that the demons might return, and so he wanted to stay as close to Christ as possible. See, that's why some of us that were really heavy into sin really hold on to that Bible with a white-knuckle grip, you know, when we find Jesus, and others that were born and raised in a, you know, a rather calm lifestyle kind of drift away and don't read their Bible after a while. You know, it's, they don't see the importance of it all. You know, some of us, myself included, know all too well how once saved, we wanted to get as close to Jesus as we could on that day and every day thereafter, because we knew the end result of what would happen if we neglected our studies and prayers. But instead of telling the man once possessed to jump into the boat with him, Jesus gave him a work to do for him that would keep him close to Christ, even though he was far away. Continuing on in, from verse 19, it says that Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. You know, Jesus didn't tell him to start a church right off. He didn't even tell him to grab a soapbox and preach on the street. He told him to go to his friends and his family And yes, he said family when he said for him to go home, for it is in the home that family resides, right? So every babe in Christ knows of this. And sadly, as I too have seen, when friends and family see the drastic and miraculous change in you, they may get very upset because, again, Satan's always nearby to prevent the truth from spreading. But in some families, and I so praise God for this, as it proves unto me that there is still hope for my loved ones, some families realize the truth as it comes from someone they knew to be into all sorts of sin, who is now changed and speaking truth that cuts hearts. They often come to embrace the Lord as Savior, and that is exactly what happened with the man once possessed of those demons. Now, reading on from verse 20 and speaking about the man who had just been set free by Jesus, it says that he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And just so you know, the word, by the way, it doesn't say he went into Decapolis and how he preached a whole mess of sermons in regards to Christian theology. No, he went in there and just told his testimony. That's why all men did marvel, not just his family members, because everybody knew about the guy down there by the gravestones that was kind of crazy. Very crazy, in fact. And just so you know, the word publish here is defined to proclaim. And so he went and did as Jesus said to do, and because of what he did, many were blessed. For it goes on to say in verse 21 that when Jesus passed over again by ship onto the other side, when, in other words, he's coming back from where he went, much people gathered onto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And so don't sell yourself short. Whether you're a babe or a long-term Christian, go forth and do that which Jesus tells everyone to do. And to finish off this study, remember, sanctification is a threefold experience which is symbolized in the holy place. Number one is the table of showbread. Number two is the altar of incense. And finally, number three is the candlestick. And you can't walk into the holy place unless you have walked past the laver. And you can't walk past the laver until you jump in it, because that's the symbol of baptism. And you certainly can't walk up to the laver unless you passed the altar of burnt offering, which means you gave up all your sins and they're now burning on the altar, because the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, has been offered now. So, this is how it has always worked. You know, the 1-2-3 thing, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and the candlestick. You study the word at the table of showbread, and then you realize your need for a Savior, and you go forth to the altar of incense to pray unto him to bless you and seek his will for your life. And then he moves you to the candlestick to go forth as the light unto the world to bless those he needs, or he sends your way. Because now that you are in his word and on your knees daily, you can now be trusted to be used of him to go forth with his truth to shed light upon the paths of those poor souls that are stumbling around in darkness. And this is one of the reasons, by the way, I'll end with this. This is one of the reasons that whenever he would heal somebody, he would say, go and sin no more, of course, like usual. But he would also say, don't tell anybody. Now, with the lepers, that was obvious. He says, don't go and tell, you know, the Pharisees or the priest or anything that I'm the one that healed you. Just go there and give the offering that was instructed of Moses and go ahead and tell them that you've been cleansed. You don't want to be going throughout the rest of your life yelling unclean, unclean. You want to be able to hug your wife and kids, right? And because he said, if you tell them I did it, they're going to say, no matter how clean you look, that you're still got leprosy and for the rest of your life, you're going to have to keep yelling unclean and hang out with lepers. And so the other toss of the coin is the reason he would tell all these people, don't say anything to anybody, is because of mostly their connections with the Jewish economy. And so it's going to eventually come, they might get the ear of a Pharisee or Sadducee or even a scribe. And these guys were very well versed in twisting scripture, and it might ruin their faith, as well as cause Jesus even more problems, to where his work would be hindered quicker than prophecy had claimed it would, which would be the 3.5 years, as we saw in Daniel. And that's why the Jews declared Daniel a false prophet, is because he declared long before Jesus came that they would kill their Messiah. And so to this day, they call Daniel a false prophet, just like to this day they call Ellen White a false prophet, because she exposes all denominations, and including the SDA Church now, especially after 1888. But even more, it actually got bad after 1884. But and people say, well, why didn't she leave the church? Well, for the same reason Jeremiah didn't leave the city. She had a job to do. And so I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.